الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, his family, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullah alayh. We are in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 104. It reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقولوا راعنا وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا وللكافرين عذاب أليم ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Verse 104, 105 in English, please.
Bismillah. O ye who believe, say not to the Messenger of Allah right now, but say concern us, make us understand and hear. And for the disbeliever, there is a painful torment. Neither those who disbelieve among the people of the Scripture, Jews and Christians, nor are those people, the idolaters, politics, disbeliever in the oneness of Allah, pagan, etc., like that there should be sent out to give you any good from your Lord, that Allah chooses for His mercy whom He wills, and Allah is the owner of great bounty.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله: كان المسلمون يقولون حين خطابهم للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عند تعلمهم أمر الدين راعنا، أي راعي أحوالنا، فيقصدون بها معنى صحيحا أو معنى صحيحا. طيب، he said the Muslims used to tell the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was teaching them the affairs of their deen, رَاعِنَا يعني take it easy, consider our situation. Consider, have consideration of our situation. That's more or less what is intended, and their intent is good. يعني let the teachings and the commandments be according to our ability and according to our circumstances. يعني you know, like you tell someone you're new at a job, you know, you go tell the person, listen man, take it easy, you know, I'm still new, don't ask me to do everything, don't expect me to know more than I know, I'm still learning, so treat me according to my situation. Once I learn more, then you treat me according to my other situation. Now I'm a newbie, a rookie, I'm a beginner, then you must act with me accordingly. So they used to say this to the Prophet ﷺ, meaning something good. وَكَانَ الْيَهُودِ يُرِيدُونَ بِهَا مَعْنًا فَاسِدًا. But the Jews wanted a wicked and a twisted intent behind the word, because the word could be interpreted in more than one way. فَصَارُوا يُخَاطِبُونَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِذَلِكُ وَيَقْصُدُونَ الْمَعْنَ الْفَاسِدِ. So they used to say the same thing to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, but they mean something evil. The Shaykh didn't mention it. فَنَهَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ سَدًّا لِهَذَا الْبَابِ. So Allah prohibited the believers from using this word in order to close His door. The door of what? That saying something that may be used by the non-Muslims and their intent behind it is to be something wicked. فَفِيهِ النَّهِي عَلَى الْجَائِزِ. We learn from this a principle in Islam that something which is permissible may become prohibited. Something which is originally allowed may become disallowed. إذا كان وسيلة إلى المحرم. If it becomes means to something that is forbidden. Something that is originally halal may become haram if it leads to something that is forbidden. I'm trying to think of an example. The only one I'm thinking of is one that may not be befitting. For example, alhamdulillah, I thought of another example. Nail polish for the women. Nail polish is halal. No problem for a woman to wear, to have nail polish. But there's a particular kind which prevents water from going to the nails. So a sister may not do this before she makes wudu, because her wudu will become invalid with the nail polish. It would prevent the water from making it to the nails. Washing the nails is part of washing the hands. You must do that for your wudu to be accepted. So you wind up with your whole salah being unaccepted because way back there, your wudu wasn't accepted. And we know that the wudu is a condition for the salah. So now that which is originally permissible, such as nail polish, has become forbidden at this particular point. If the sister says, I want to wear nail polish before I make wudu, say now it is not al-halal for you. Because it's going to mean that you are going to miss on the salah and, you know, waste the salah. So that is haram. So now wearing nail polish is haram. In this circumstance. Otherwise, if it was after Isha, is that clear? Where something that is originally halal may become forbidden if it will lead to something forbidden. It will become disallowed if that thing is going to lead to something forbidden. طيب. وفيه الأدب and also there's an evidence about the etiquette واستعمال الألفاظ التي لا تحتمل إلا الحسن and using terminology that يعني that can only be interpreted in a good way, using terminology that only carries good meaning, nothing that has a negative meaning. وعدم الفحش أو الفحش and not to be not using profane language. عليكم السلام. وترك الألفاظ القبيحة and abandoning wicked speech or bad expressions, you know, unbefitting or not befitting expressions. أو التي فيها نوع تشويش أو احتمال لأمر غير لائق or the thing that may be distracting or may carry something that is not يعني decent. فأمرهم بلفظة لا تحتمل إلا الحسن. So Allah commanded them to use a word that can only carry goodness, a word that cannot contain something other than goodness. فقال وقول انظرنا فإنها كاف يحصل بها المقصود يحصل بها المقصود من غير محدود. So he said انظرنا, which gives the same meaning but cannot be used in the wicked way the Jews were using it. The meaning is the same but it does not contain the same meaning that the Jews were utilizing from the word ra'ina, because to them they meant something else in the language. It meant something else. It could be interpreted in both ways. So they're saying ra'ina, which outwardly seems to be okay because the believers were saying it, but inwardly they were trying to make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas the word unzurna does not do that. It can only be interpreted in a good way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the Muslims from using the word which may be used by the non-Muslims to be a means of mockery into using something that is strictly good, like the word unzurna. And this is why I advised the brother before, some of the brothers, to avoid even the Muslims amongst each other, those who speak English, to say to one another Happy New Year. Even if you intend the Hijri year, even if you're speaking about the Islamic lunar calendar, the Hijri, still, if you tell someone Happy New Year, the first thing that will come to mind is what? The typical New Year for the Muslim, for the non-Muslims. He ain't going to be thinking about... And this happened to some brothers. Yani a brother told the brother Happy New Year. He gave him a lecture. He said, Akhi, I'm speaking about the Hijri year. He said, man, I mean... So now the word Happy New Year, the meaning is understood. Yani you wish, you ask Allah to give this person a good year that is coming. And you know, that's what they say in the Arabic. You know, كل عام وأنتم بخير. May each year go by while you're in a state of goodness. But now when you say it in English, Happy New Year, which is the same exact word used by the non-Muslims, then it carries another connotation. And so it should be avoided in order what? To avoid the fitna. Mumtaz. That's beautiful. Say it in Arabic and solve the problem. Say تقبل الله منا ومنكم. Even better than that. May Allah accept from us and you. May Allah accept our deeds. ما في مشكلة. المهم that avoid saying Happy New Year, because they may think that you're trying to greet them with a Christmas greeting, you know, whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. So this is an example of live example of a word that may be correct in the meaning, but because it is used by the non-Muslims as means of haram, it becomes prohibitive for you to use it. So you would avoid this, يعني, this tribulation or fitna.
Can you please give us some prohibition from the Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad regarding this initial liberation of the Kufar that warned us
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man tashabbah bi qawmin, fahuwa minhum." Whomever resembles the people, he's one of them. No, this hadith.
Hadith.
The Quran. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. We'll come to it right now, inshallah. We're actually close to 120. Maybe we'll just be patient so we will not lose track. And nor the Jews nor the Christians will ever be pleased with you until you follow their ways. Yeah, I mean many. The whole deen is about making a distinction between the believers and the non-believers and making two separate categories. The believers and everybody else. And they should never intermix. Each one is independent. They are the followers of the prophets and the messengers versus the followers of the devils and the wicked people. That's just what it is. So it's...
Shaykh, I just want to ask, just to clear my mind.
Type.
In the Salah, the Imam was including this prayer for the Palestinian situation.
Yes.
Are the Hamas Shia?
Hamas? No.
How
come the
Hezbollah leader is encouraging the
other
Muslim countries to join
the... Listen, man, Hezbollah, if someone is seen drinking with his left hand, I will confiscate his cup of coffee. The Hezbollah and Hassan Nasrallah, this wicked, misguided, low-life individual, they something in Shia called Taqiyya, which is basically... acting. They put a front. They have a front. The front is intended for the world and for the Sunni Muslims, where in the front they show care and reconciliation and harmony, and inside they hold only Allah knows what, you know. And we know this from video lectures, audio lectures, and their books, what they really feel about the world and Ahl Sunnah. So this, and they have something in their books, they say, if you don't practice taqiyya as a Shi'i, you're not really a Shi'i. You must have this double face. So this guy will come on TV for what? To gain support, to gain a certain thing, and Allah knows what's in his heart. He would never want the sunnah. Man, these people were caught kissing the hands of their rabbis and meeting with them in places. The Shi'a began, alaykum salam, by a Jew. His name was Abdullah ibn Saba. He was a hypocrite Jew. A Jew just like Paul. How did Paul come into Christianity and he destroyed Christianity? He was a Jew. He claimed to be a Christian. Made everything halal. Added the Trinity and developed it and sent letters and he became part of the gospel. Similarly, this Jew, Abdullah ibn Saba, came into Islam as a hypocrite to destroy Islam as that person destroyed Christianity. But Allah preserved Islam and promised that Islam will be protected. So the Shia were started by a Jew. So don't believe the hype, man.
This is a munafiqah.
This is a munafiqah. That's what the hypocrite is. These people don't even pray 5 times a day, man. The Shia don't pray 5 times a day, man. Someone who doesn't pray 5 times a day must be on vacation.
That's crazy, because I see in the newspaper the massacre day.
This is sorrowful for the Muslims. Yeah, but this guy, Allah knows what he wants in his heart. These people, man, they're known. Trust, Hezbollah are from, there's the different sects and denominations of the Shia. They are among what they're known as Al-Ja'fariya, Al-Ithna Ashariya. Yani, according to the scholars, you cannot label this person as a Muslim. Let him wear the big robe. Let him wear the big beard. Let him wear the big turban. According to the Muslim scholars, this individual is not a Muslim. I'm not saying about particular individuals. Anyone who carries their belief system, which is the fact that their a'imma, their imams, their leaders, they believe in 12 of them, are infallible. Yani, someone who never makes a mistake. When you do that, then you have belied Allah in the Quran and you have belied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet said, every son of Adam is a sinner. And the best of sinners are those who repent. This person says, no sin on them. They say that they know the past, the present and the future. And only Allah knows the past. And they give these imams worse than the Christians. All the attributes of Allah. It's kufr, man. They say Jibreel made a mistake. He was supposed to come to the Prophet, he was supposed to come to Ali, But he came to the Prophet Muhammad for 23 years. He's making the same error, bringing revelation to the wrong man. Yeah, he basically saying Allah is not in control of the world. This is the Shia, man. But they don't come and tell you this. They will come on TV, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha. So now we say, oh, mashallah, mashallah. Don't believe these people, man. I'm telling it to you how it is, trust me. Anywho, now, we lost track. Let's go back. طيب. المهم واسمعوا لم يذكر المسموع. No, فإنها كافية يحصل بها المقصود من غير المحذور. So, use the word انظرنا because it does the job without any issue or any form of violation. وعليكم السلام. واسمعوا لم يذكر المسموع ليعم أمر باستماعه. And Allah said, and listen. And the Shaykh said, Allah did not specify what they ought to listen to. He didn't say what to listen to. He just made a general statement. So this command will encompass everything that they should hear. He didn't just say to hear one particular thing or regarding one aspect of the deen. Wasma'u and hear everything. يعني obey everything from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فيدخل فيه سماع القرآن. Including that is to listen to the Qur'an. وسماع السنة التي هي الحكمة and listening to the sunnah which is wisdom لفظا ومعنا واستجابة linguistically in the meaning context and by responding ففيه الأدب والطاعة so it indicates the good character وعليكم السلام والطاعة and obedience ثم توعد الكافرين بالعذاب المؤلم الموجع then Allah سبحانه وتعالى promised the believers the severe and painful punishment وأخبر عن عداوة اليهود والمشركين للمؤمنين and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the animosity that the Jews and the polytheists have towards the Muslims and subhanallah whatever Allah mentioned 1400 years ago you are seeing it today you know what all this thing that's happening in Palestine now is a result of what? Of one Jewish citizen dying one they sent rockets from Hamas to Israel One Jew died. This is the consequence of all this is because of what? In their mind, one Jew is equal to 10 billion Muslims. They can kill 10 billion Muslims and they will not feel that they have gone even for the death of one of their citizens. Now this is the Jews. This is their animosity. People of no mercy, man. A'udhu billah. People that are wicked. Yani you go after the children, you go after the poor people. They're not even fighting against an army. They go and they destroy people in their homes, people walking, people moving, about doing their, handling their daily life business. Nonetheless, subhanAllah, Allah exposed their animosity in the Quran and we are living it today. So you will not know, so everybody will know. And this is something similar can be said to the about the Christians. So we will know that, alaykum salam, that this affair is serious. The difference that we have with them is the difference of belief system. It's a difference of belief system. It's a serious affair. All of the nations, as the Prophet Muhammad said, all of the nations will gather against you. As if a bunch of dogs gathering to eat from one meal. They will all come around trying to eat from you. Now they disagree. The Jews and the Christians, they should be the biggest enemies to one another. Because the Jews killed, according to them, they killed the Messiah. And according to the Christians, he was killed by the Jews. Yani, what worse than that? Well, if you come to the Muslims, we don't hate Musa, and we believe in Jesus. So where should be the harmony with the Muslims? But you will find that although they are supposed to be the worst enemies, they work with one another against Islam. So don't get it twisted in your mind. That is the Muslims who are always guilty and the Muslims who are oppressive and the Muslims who are transgressors. It is the Muslims who are always swallowing things. But of course the media does not tell you that. They turn it around. Terrorists, blah blah blah, blah blah blah. But what are you doing? What do you call all this that's happening in the world, man? This is love and peace? Huh? This is turning the other cheek? That's nonsense, man. Talk is cheap. Anywho, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them on the day of judgment. Don't worry. They may have some fun today. They may make fun of the Muslims today. They may mock the Muslims. They may kill the Muslims. But a day will come where they will bite on their hands. And they will say, I wish I had obeyed Allah and the Messenger. That day will come. And that day will be permanent. And while the believers who suffered and endured hardship in this world will be dwelling in the gardens of Jannah, the non-Muslims will be punished in the hellfire. And not only that, the believers will get to see them. The believers up there in Jannah will see the disbelievers in the hellfire burning. And say, look at these guys. So then the disbelievers, as it comes in Surah Al-A'raf, they say, give us some water or some of the food that Allah has blessed you with. They will say, no, Allah had made him prohibited for the disbelievers. They will be dying of thirst. You'll be just sitting there drinking some wine, chilling with your, with one of your girlfriends or legal wives, Afwan, not a girlfriend in this sense, because you know you're not going to have a marriage contract. So she's going to be lawfully yours by the will of Allah, having some delicious wine in your big castle, while the disbelievers downstairs begging you to give him a sip of water, and you say, I'm sorry man, I'm too busy, and Allah made it haram for you. No water for you. So now, they can have fun, but things will turn around as soon as everyone's death comes about. Once the Muslim dies and the disbeliever dies, this is when the things will go the opposite ways. The believer will go from the hardship and the struggle of this world to the relaxation of the hereafter, and the disbeliever will go from his relaxation and entertainment in this world to the constriction and the punishment of the hereafter. And none of them can, he can never go back. You can never go back and fix it up. So alhamdulillah, be patient and remain firm upon your deen. That's the most valuable thing that you have. Inshallah, when you pass away, you'll be just having a good time. طيب. أنهم ما يودون أن ينزل عليكم من خير أي لا قليلا ولا كثيرا. The disbelievers, they do not wish that any goodness shall come down upon you from your Lord. Not a lot, not even a little. They don't want any goodness for the Muslims. من ربكم حسد منهم, envy. They're envious in their hearts. وبغضا لكم, and of hatred. And يختصكم بفضل, that Allah will favor you with His bounties. فَإِنَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ, verily Allah is the possessor of the great bounty and virtue. وَمِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنْزَالِ الْكِتَابِ عَلَى رَسُولِكُمْ, and from the virtues that Allah has bestowed upon us, or the bounties of Allah upon us, that He sent down this book upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِيُزَكِّيكُمْ, so He may purify you. لِيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمَكُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ, and so He may teach you the Quran and the wisdom or the sunnah. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, and so He may teach you that which you did not know before. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ, so to Allah belongs all praise and thankfulness and favor. نعم. Allah says afterwards, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ ألم تعلم أن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير. Someone can read verse 106 and 107 in English.
Bismillah. Whatever a verse revelation do, we abrogate or cause to be forgotten. We bring a better one or similar to it. Know you that Allah is able to do all things. Know you not that it is Allah to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and besides Allah there was neither any wali, protector or guardian, nor any helper.
Barakallahu fiqh. يقول الشيخ, النسخ هو النقل. فحقيقة النسخ نقل المكلفين من حكم مشروع إلى حكم آخر. طيب. Abrogation. The definition of النسخ هو النقل is to transfer. To transfer, to move. And what is intended, the reality of abrogation is that you move or you transfer those who are responsible from the Muslims, who are responsible for following the rules, from a particular ruling to another one, where the older one is no longer effective. It is void. For example, they make windows and they have a patch for the windows. They call it 2.1. طيب. And this is the one that you need currently for your windows to function properly. Then after a few months or something, based on some studies that they found, or because it is more befitting now for the consumers who have learned more, who have understood more the nature of this software, they release patch 2.3, which abrogates 2.1. 2.1 is no longer effective because 2.3 does the job. It is the new patch that includes or is better than the old one. Really, that's what abrogation is. And we will see how the Shaykh will break it down. أو إلى أسقاطه يعني إلى من حكم مشروع إلى حكم آخر. So either moving those responsible from one ruling to another, or voiding a particular ruling. Voiding or invalidating a particular ruling. وكان اليهود ينكرون النسخ. The Jews used to deny abrogation. They used to deny abrogation. They would say there's no such thing. ويزعمون أنه لا يجوز. They say it is not permissible for the rulings to be abrogated. Again, abrogation is canceling something old by replacing it with something new, or by just canceling it. You get it? So for example, the ruling in Islam would be like, for example, if you did something, it will be halal. Then it came and it became abrogated, it becomes haram. It was halal, then it was abrogated with a new ruling which made it haram. So you only refer to the latest ruling. The Jews claim that this cannot be done. There should be no such thing as abrogation. It is not permissible. وَهُوَ مَذْكُورٌ عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَةِ. Although it is mentioned in the Old Testament, it is mentioned with them in their Torah. فَإِنْكَارُهُمْ لَهُ كُفْرٌ وَهَوَى مَحْضٌ. So their denial of the abrogation is disbelief and straight up desire, following desires, is nothing but following desires, because they have it in the Torah. فَأَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ حِكْمَتِهِ فِي النَّسْخِ. So Allah told us about the wisdom behind abrogation. Because someone may ask, why would something be abrogated? Because some people have this misconception. If Allah knows the outcome of things, why would there be a ruling than another ruling? You see what I'm saying? Why would there be the need to change if it was Allah the one who's setting the law? Well, there's a beautiful answer. If He doesn't give it to you, I'll give it to you. المهم, Allah told us, وَأَنَّهُ مَا يَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِيهَا أَيْ نُنْسِيهَا الْعِبَادِ. Allah does not abrogate a verse or make the slaves forget about this verse or this sign. فَنُزِيلَهَا مِنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ. So we will remove it from their hearts. نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. We will bring one that is more beneficial and better. وَأَنْفَعْ لَكُمْ أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. Or equal to it. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النَّسْخَ لَا يَكُنْ لِأَقَلْ مَصْلَحَةَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. The first thing we learn is that abrogation is never never in a case where something will be less beneficial. It's never something good which will become less good. It's always from something good to better. لِأَنَّ فَضْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ is that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always increasing His favors upon His slaves. So likewise, the ruling will be also become better. خصوصا على هذه الأمة, specifically this particular nation of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, التي سهل عليها دينها غاية التسهيل, that Allah has facilitated the affairs of the religion of this Ummah like no other nation. The Jews, when urine or any kind of impurity touched their clothes, it was not enough for them to wash it, they had to cut it off. يعني imagine right now, you go to the hammam, أكرمك الله, and you know, for whatever reason, some urine falls on your thobe. At the law of the Jews, he cannot wash it. Water did not remove the impurity. He had to cut it off. Aywa. And of course, the Christian, ما في مشكلة. He could dive in a swimming pool of urine and then go to church and sit down. Nobody would tell him, hey man, what, you know, where's your wudu over here in church? No problem, right? So these are the other extreme, and that's not easy anymore. That's nonsense. Whereas the Muslim, alhamdulillah, the deen is facilitated. You are expected to purify yourself when you are worshipping Allah, but also it's easy. Wudu is easy, ghusl easy. If some impurity catches you, it's easy. Alhamdulillah, things have been facilitated. طيب. وأخبر أن من قدح في النسخ فقد قدح في ملكه وقدرته. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that whomever criticizes abrogation is criticizing Allah's dominion and Allah's ability. Who is the human being to tell Allah what to legislate and when to legislate it and whether Allah should abrogate or not? Who are the human beings to oppose Allah? No, nothing. Allah does what He wills. فَقَالَ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Do you not know that Allah is able to do all things? أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Don't you know that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? Meaning, don't you know that Allah can do whatever He's able to abrogate? And Allah owns everything. So neither do you have the ability to oppose Allah in power-wise, nor do you own anything in the heavens and the earth to have a say. Wallah, this is my property and I don't like, you know, and my property, I don't accept that. You and everything that you have and everything you see around you belongs to Allah. So who can tell Allah what to do or what not to do? I'll give you an example in your own house. Can someone just walk in from the street into your house, say, I'm gonna make a bedroom for me over here? Huh? You say no, he says no. Or you say I'm gonna change, someone is a guest living in your house, you say I'm gonna change the paint of this wall. He said no. You cannot do that. So what do you mean you cannot do that? He said no, once the paint is yellow, you should keep it yellow. Say, listen man, it's my house. You know, I can do whatever I want in my house. I'm free to do, I own this house and I'm able to do it. And you're a guest, you know, who are you? You know, I'm letting you in my house, get out of the house. And one of the options. Of course, you know, now hold on now. The principle is that we treat the guests with respect. I'm not saying that you should do this to your guests. I'm sure no guest will ever do that anyways. But this is all hypothetically speaking. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whomever believes in Allah, whomever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his guest. So when a guest comes over to your house, you honor him. And of course this is available in some cultures and not available in other cultures, but Islam makes it part of your life, part of your ibadah, part of your worship to Allah, that you honor your guest. So may Allah help us do that. Anyways, so then the Shaykh said, فَإِذَا كَانَ مَالِكًا لَكُمْ مُتَصَرِّفًا فِيكُمْ تَصَرُّفُ الْمَالِكِ الْبَرِّ الرَّحِيمِ فِي أَقْدَارِهِ وَأَوَامِرِهِ وَنَوَيْهِ. طيب. So if Allah is the one who owns you, and He does whatever He wills with you, but His actions are the actions of one who is merciful in His decree, in His commandments and His prohibitions. Everything is out of mercy, not oppression or injustice. فَكَمَا أَنَّهُ لَا حِجْرَ عَلَيْهِ فِي تَقْدِيرِ مَا يُقَدِّرُهُ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ التَّقَادِيرِ. The same way no one can complain. No one can complain or prevent Allah from what He decrees, from preordainment, the things that are happening from the decree of Allah. No one has a say in them. كَذَلِكَ لَا يَعْطَرِدُ عَلَيْهِ فِي مَا يَشْرَعُهُ لِعِبَادِهِ الْأَحْكَامِ. Similarly, no one should oppose Allah or criticize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to legislate for His slaves. If Allah decrees that wealth comes upon you, no one can stop it. And if Allah decrees that you should do salah 5 times a day, no one can stop it. The same way Allah is in control of the decree, He is in control of the law. He commands whatever He wills, Azza wa Jal. فَالْعَبْدُ مُدَبَّرٌ مُسَخَّرٌ تَحْتَ أَوَامِرِ رَبِّهِ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالْقَدَرِيَّةِ. So the servant, the slave of Allah, is basically subdued, and under the government and the governing of Allah's commands, the legal ones pertaining to the religion and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَا لَهُ الْاَعْتِرَاضِ. So why are you objecting? What's the point of objecting? وَهُوَ أَيْضًا وَلِيُّ عِبَادِهِ وَنَصِيرُهُمْ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is the helper of His believers, of His servants, and the one who aids them and gives them victory. فَيَتَوَلَّهُمْ فِي تَحْصِيلِ مَنَافِعِهِمْ. So Allah helps them in attaining the benefits. وَيَنْصُرُهُمْ فِي دَفْعِ مَضَارِهِمْ. And Allah aids them and gives them victory in avoiding the harms and the evil. فَمِنْ وَلَيَتِهِ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَشْرَعَ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ مَا تَقْتَدِيهِ حِكْمَتُهُ وَرَحْمَتُهُ بِهِمْ أَوْ مَا تَتْأَيْوَى. So it is from Allah's help and aid that He gives His believing servants that He legalizes for them from the different rulings what His wisdom and His mercy to them entails. And the bottom line is, the Shaykh says, وَمَنْ تَأَمَّلَ مَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُنَّةِ مِنَ النَّسْخِ. Whomever ponders and reflects upon what has happened in the Quran and Sunnah from abrogations, the different rulings that were abrogated, عَرِفَ بِذَلِكَ حِكْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ بِعِبَادِهِ. He will be able to tell the wisdom of Allah and the mercy of Allah's word regarding His servants. وإيصالهم إلى مصالحهم how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them reach the things that are beneficial for them من حيث لا يشعرون بلطفه from places without even them feeling due to his gentleness. And I will give you an example. This is why the people need to understand. An example of abrogation is that of alcohol. Alcohol was allowed in the beginning of the Muslims, in the beginning of the era of Islam, alcohol was allowed. And there were three different verses that were revealed dealing with alcohol, and none of them mentioned the prohibition. Rather, Allah says, O you who believe, do not approach the salah while you are intoxicated until you know that which you are saying. Okay? So the ruling in the beginning was, you could drink, but not before the salah. Not during salah times, because you cannot pray while you are intoxicated. Now, after the passage of many years, and the Muslims continued to drink wine. This was something that was very much ingrained in the culture of the Arabs. Wine was part of their life, khamr. Something that you cannot take out overnight. You see what I'm saying? You cannot suddenly leave unless you have iman, unless you believe in Allah. And your belief in Allah is at different levels and stages. The stronger your belief, the easier it is for you to leave alone the prohibitions. The weaker you believe, the more difficult for you it is to leave alone the prohibitions. So after the passage of many years, then and only then towards the end of the Prophet, towards the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the verse was revealed that, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِسٌّ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who believe, verily intoxicants and gambling and the statues and the arrows they used to throw for luck are the abomination of the handiwork of Satan. So leave them alone strictly. Avoid all of them strictly so you may be successful. Then Allah says in the next verse, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you then going to stop? When this verse was revealed, some of the Sahaba, what happened here? Allah yadikum. Some of the Sahaba had a cup of wine in his hand. The cup of wine in his hand, about to drink. And the verse came to them. Whenever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation, those around him would go and inform and convey the message to others. He was about to drink when the verse was revealed on the floor. Now one of us would say, hey, this is the last one, huh? The last one. Ayo, khalas, of the haram, after this one is haram. Dawallah. Why though? Because it was lawful for them. Once they knew that it was haram, their iman was so strong that they could not even entertain, it's not even a drop. And whatever they had in their mouth, they spit it out. And then they went to the big jars that they used to have of wine, and they broke them all, and they say that it was so much so that there were rivers of wine running in Medina. This was in Medina. After they migrated, how many years he was in Mecca? 13 years. So now the people say, look at the mercy and the wisdom of Allah. Now you know why there's nasakh, abrogation. If the first thing that was expected of the Muslims was to leave the alcohol, many of them, because their iman was not strong enough, would have disobeyed. They would have disobeyed. So the wisdom of Allah and His mercy entails that He allowed it in the beginning, although Allah knew, before He created the heavens and the earth, that the day will come when it will be prohibited. But it was gradual, based on the need of the people. Now you see the wisdom behind abrogation. So no one can. So the Jews are saying, how is that? One day it's halal, now it's haram. Huh? That's their limited understanding. They don't see the mercy and the wisdom of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the companions the chance to reach an iman such a strong level where when the rulings came, they were not playing around anymore. There was no playing around. And that's all it took. One verse. And they were no longer alcohol among the Muslims by the grace of Allah. Up until today, except those who disobey. Except those who disobey. Otherwise, look at this one verse, it terminated the problem that most of the people on earth suffer from. Alcoholism is one of the biggest problems in the world. Every country, people drink day and night, even on their so-called religious events. You know, Easter, yalla. Christmas, chill. Happy New Year, he doesn't even know his mother. They get drunk and get high and do the whole nine yards. And they claim that this is, you know, that this is worship and this is love for Jesus. Oh, come on, man. Who's loving Jesus? Subhanallah. Who is loving Jesus for real? The Muslims. Living, following his footsteps. Him and other messengers who came before him and the Prophet Muhammad who came after him. You go get, you know, get a Christmas tree and get some fat guy to come into your house and drop some presents, you know, and play, get drunk and have fun. Gifts, exchanging gifts, back and forth, sending cards. Happy Batikh, Happy New Year, Happy Midri Esh. Khalas, they say this is it, yani, this is where now we're celebrating the birthday of the Son of God. Yani, really, man, you know it from your past. If you were a Christian, that's just nonsense. And those who use it really to remember Jesus, they are remembering him in the wrong way. They're not even doing it according to what he wants. They're doing it according to what they want. So they are also misguided. Yani, there's no exception to the rule. Anyways, the idea is, now do you see the wisdom behind the abrogation? That it was befitting that in the beginning they would be allowed, alaykum salam, until they reach a point where their iman was strong, so when the ruling will come of abrogation and prohibition, everybody will be ready to entertain it. This is called wisdom. Same way you teach your child. Say, well, I want my child to be a doctor. So he's 40 years old and you're teaching him the books of medicine. But he doesn't know, he doesn't need that yet. Wisdom entails that you teach him the basics first, and then when he's at age where he can understand the medical books, you teach him the medical books. If you did, someone will come and tell you, why are you teaching him, geography? And he's going to be, you know, a dentist. What's the point of geography? It's the point, man. You know, you're wasting his time. Say, listen, man, it's the stages, wisdom. Let him learn these things. When he's ready for the medical things, we will give him the medical things. Yeah, and this is common, as you can tell. Alhamdulillah, it's easy, simple. طيب. أم تريدون أن تسألوا؟ Yeah, I know, I'm seeing whether I should continue or desist. Let's stop at this verse, inshallah. Verse 108. And we'll begin, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, next week. هذا والله تعالى عالم والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. Yes, sir.
There is an ayah in the Quran that the great Jewish Jews
that will become the Tayyib of the Surah. Yes. In Surah Al-Isra. Surah Al-Isra, right after Surah Al-Kahf. Right after or right before? I think it's right before. So right before Surah Al-Kahf,
yeah.
In the beginning of the Surah, in the second page of the Surah, no, the first page of the Surah, yeah. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك